Peak Wealth Management proudly presents Finding True Wealth with Nick Hopwood, where we believe by providing education and guidance, we help our clients make sound financial decisions, which ultimately puts them on a path towards their definition of true wealth. Now, here is your certified financial planner professional and founder of Peak Wealth Management, Nick Hopwood.
Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to episode 29 of Finding True Wealth. Today, I am speaking with Dr. Russ Doré, talking about finding a satisfying second career. And it was enjoying to talk with Dr. Russ because so many themes that we've talked about over the past couple of years came up today, starting with knowing yourself and what do you like to do and what do you enjoy. Reminds me of the blueprinting exercises in episode 24, talking about do you have the skills to do what you want to do if you're looking at a new career, the details of how the job might work. So where would you work? Do you have to be at work every day, or can you work out of the house? What kind of income requirements do you need? What's the structure of the position? Or are you a consultant, or are you an entrepreneur? Can you spend time in Florida during the winter, or would that just not work? We heard about Dr. Russ's unique second career himself, which seems to be taking off nicely. And I want to bring up a couple of other episodes with knowing yourself and blueprinting. We talked about Start With Why in episode 12. Dr. Russ also mentioned, the honeymoon phase of retirement, which reminds me of our interview with Keith Lawrence, the author of Your Retirement Quest, episode 10. And finally, Dr. Russ would consider himself a life coach, a retirement coach, much like Donna Martin in episode 16. So hopefully you enjoy our conversation today with Dr. Russ. Welcome, Dr. Russ, to Finding True Wealth.
Thank you. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Dr. Russ and I have known each other for a few years. We met through a friend of ours, Dr. John, at our business networking meeting. Dr. John, if you recall, has been on the podcast episode 19. So we talked about understanding different personality styles. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back and check it out. But today we're going to be talking about second careers and finding a satisfying second career. So Dr. Russ, how did you become involved in counseling and talking about folks in their second careers?
Well, I'm a licensed psychologist, and I worked, did individual counseling for a short time, and then I worked in industry for a number of years, primarily as a human resource development director. Then I went into consulting, and I did a lot of what was called outplacement. I worked with people all the way from company presidents down to hourly people who were let go through downsizing and had to reorient their careers. And some of them went into second careers. And so that's where I kind of got interested in the whole second career issue.
And you've done a number of speaking on the topic with different workshops and seminars. I believe the most recent one was called Finding a Satisfying Second Career.
Yes, and that was to cover kind of the whole process of thinking through, first of all, if you want a second career, and then if you do, how to go about it.
So who are the people that are coming to this? Are they people that have already retired from, a traditional retirement in the sense of now you're collecting your pension and Social Security and maybe you're looking for something more meaningful? Or are these people who are maybe a little younger and they're finding that they need a new set of skills, and or maybe they're unhappy with the former industry or profession that they were in before?
Well, the answer is all of the above. People come into second careers for a variety of reasons. Interesting research shows that some of the people with the most successful second careers actually start their second career during their first career. They expand a hobby or an interest or some area of their background and get started before they exit their first career.
So do you have an example that you might give on that?
I can give my own example.
Okay.
I was involved in community theater for a number of years along with my work and ended up forming a group that did murder mysteries, and that became a professional little sideline. It was a lot of fun. And then that led into some historical presentations, and so now I ended up doing historical presentations. So it kind of flowed from, started out when I was working full-time and ended up as a part-time second career.
So it's like a hobby that you enjoy doing where you can actually get paid for it.
That's right. That's right.
That's the best
of both.
That's, yeah.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. So when we come back to when you're consulting or counseling mm-hmm. people with this whole second career topic, where do you start?
Well, first of all, really you have to know yourself, and you have to spend some time looking at yourself. What is fun for you? What is meaningful for you? You know, what do you really want to enjoy doing? One example is a fellow that was a sales executive and actually took an early retirement and started to figure out what he wanted to do. I worked with him when I was doing his salt placement work. And so he liked to travel, and he also did a lot of investing. So he decided he wanted to have a career in one of those areas. So he first chose travel, and he did a smart thing. He worked in the field for a while before he started his own business. Well, he found out he liked to travel, but he didn't really like worrying about other people's travel. Hmm. He didn't really want to get a call from Paris and somebody didn't like their hotel and so forth. And so he said, that's not the right path. So then he said, well, I'd like to be a financial planner. So he went through and got certified as a financial planner and ended up being very happy in that career.
Nice, nice. You mentioned the word meaningful, and that term has made itself well known through all the episodes that we have here. I like this particular activity that I call the blueprinting process, and the idea is really to find your meaningful purpose. You can look back to episode 7 on that one, and we have a workbook that we work through, and you know, it's all about understanding your needs and desires and what's meaningful. So once you've done that, what's the next step?
Well, then you have to decide, do I have the skills to for this new career? In my example, the fellow that became a financial planner did not. So he had to take all the training and pass all the exams, as you know, mm-hmm. and get certified. So he did have the background of being very successful in his personal investments before that. So he had the confidence.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said about managing your own investments versus managing other people's investments. Definitely right. A difference.
Then you have to decide if you may have the skills. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot of skills, but I know people who like to play a lot of golf. And so when they retire, they become a starter. And they get paid some. They get reduced golf fees or free golf. And they're in that environment.
I even have a client who decided that he, you know, he liked golf so much and he likes being around the golf course. He mowed the grass at the golf course for a small hourly rate, but he really enjoyed it.
Some other examples of second careers. My wife was in real estate and for 20 years and decided she didn't want to do open houses on Sundays and drive people all over the county and so forth. She was very successful and enjoyed it, but at some point she didn't want to do it. And so she became a church treasurer. She had volunteered part-time as an accountant, and then a position opened up. She became a part-time church treasurer, so, and enjoys it very much. Another person I know was a finance executive and retired totally from that. And now he's teaching finance at a community college. He has a master's degree. He has no teaching certificates or anything, but with that master's degree and his finance experience, he's very successful because he knows practical examples of what he's talking about.
So these are some great examples of people who have made a successful second career. But let's say, you know, I come to you and I say that I want to make a change, but I'm not sure what. And, you know, how would you counsel me and consult mm-hmm. with me in this specific case?
Well, I do have one interest survey that I use, and people fill it out and they get a computer-generated profile. And what I like about it, it's very objective. In other words, it compares your answers with answers of people who are successful in that field. So Let's say that one item is, would you rather read a book or go to the beach? Well, if, for instance, on the lawyer scale, lawyers would rather go to the beach, then you get a point on the lawyer scale. So it's very objective. So it ends up telling you, am I like people who are successful in this field?
Probably the lawyer, they've read way too much throughout their right. studying in their right. career. Yeah. Right. Now, how about this? I would choose the answer, sitting on the beach and listening through my headphones to a book on tape.
Is Howard, you don't get those choices. I'm sorry. This is a multiple choice questionnaire.
Yeah, A or B.
But it really does, because sometimes someone thinks that they're fired up about a certain career, and they get the profile back and it reinforces it. And so then I'm able to say that makes a lot of sense. Go ahead and pursue that. On other cases, I might say, you just don't fit with the people like that. I'm not saying you couldn't be in that field, but you're going to be different than the other people. And it's more of a long shot. So at least they know what they're going into before they invest a lot of time and education and energy.
That questionnaire reminds me a little bit about the DISC personality assessment. Is that a fair?
Well, that's a different approach. That sort of talks about your personality, and then you can look at what you need in various areas. So, for instance, in financial planning, you certainly need a certain amount of the C or the detail orientation. And if you don't have that,
I think I have that, but I'm a high D, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Which is you have your own business, so you have to be driven.
And we talked about, having a hobby and getting paid for it, or maybe finding a new hobby and getting paid for it. But what are some of the other things that you look at besides the interests and skills?
Well, you have to decide if you want to get paid or not, because there are wonderful volunteer opportunities out there. And some people want to be paid for it. They feel it's more meaningful. And so that's one decision. How much travel perhaps is involved, or how much time is involved, and are you going to work for yourself or work for others? Do you want to do perhaps consulting? Or some people do what I call career continuation. They just continue in their own career field and just reduce the time. I had one fellow, it was a client that was an engineer and in a special area, and he went into consulting. And I saw him later, and he said, I'm really busier than I want to be. I love it, but I'm just, and I said, well, you must be quite good. And he said, well, thank you. But he said, I said, well, I'll tell you what, just keep slowly raising your fees. And at some point, the amount of clients you get will be commensurate with what the people are willing to pay.
So. That's an excellent application of Econ 101,
right.
Supply and demand.
Right. So, anyway,
hold on 1 second. You said working for yourself, mm-hmm. or wanting mm-hmm. to take vacation.
Yeah.
I see this quite often where people, once they've done a traditional retirement, they want to be out of town January, February, March kind of thing. They want to be on the beach in Florida. So that's a really important decision. If you're going to go back to work, it has to be something that can work with you out of town or with you gone.
Right, right. And, with the with email and all the electronics now, many people that are actually working for companies do a lot of work at home or a work away. So it's getting easier for people to do that. But in some fields, you do have to be there face-to-face, and that's a consideration. But if you explore enough, you can often find a situation where that'll work out for you.
You also mentioned people often will continue in the same industry, a second career in the same industry, and that reminds me of clients that I've had where this was happening more so in the automotive industry 10 and 18 years ago, where they would take a buyout, get an early pension or a supplemental pension, and then go work for one of the competitors or a supplier. So they have very high technical knowledge of the industry, of maybe that specific product or service, and they're able to continue on for many years, double dipping.
Right, right. And again, the key is you also have to consider your financial needs and interests. In some cases, it may be a need. Several kids in college, and so you need that. In other cases, it may just be a desire to be involved in something meaningful, to be using your skills. People go through what's called sometimes a honeymoon period. They retire and they say, wow, I don't want to do anything more. I'll play golf and read and travel. And after a year or two, they just feel kind of empty. And that's because they don't have anything that they feel is truly meaningful. And one of the ways of being meaningful is to use your skills and have people respect your skills and pay for your skills, or volunteer and have people appreciate your skills.
Yeah, that reminds me of the conversation that I had with the author of the book, Your Retirement Quest, Keith Lawrence, where we talked about anticipation and the honeymoon phase, and then the depression stage, and then rejuvenation and fulfillment. And we're kind of talking about getting to that fulfillment. I imagine people that are thinking about a second career, you know, they might be, some of them might be in this depression stage, or not, maybe not depressed, but you know, they're unhappy.
Sure, right? Sure. And again, that's one of the things to consider. And again, there are certain obligations, obviously. Your time is not your own quite as much, but in some careers you can control your time, and that's why some people, again, like working for themselves. And again, that's one issue that I have to work with people on, because as you know, you don't just start a business and people flock to the door. So you have to market yourself, you have to network, you have to get the word out there. And so I have a small second career that's getting bigger. And again, I have to remind myself constantly to continue to market it, because otherwise it just dries up.
Let's say somebody is contemplating these types of things right now, thinking about a career change, or I'm thinking about retirement, or I'm already retired and I'm kind of feeling disenchanted and I want something more meaningful. Would they come see you and talk one-on-one? Could they come to one of your workshops, one of your seminars? So here's your chance to market yourself. Okay. What would you say that they do as their first step?
Well, I work, again, one of my second careers is part-time with PCS Counseling in Northville. And I do have clients that I work with on career issues. People in the retirement situation. I also work with young people who have started out with a career and somehow it's not working or they're not happy, and they want to come in and sort of get reoriented to some other options. So that would be the best starting point.
So you have that unique background of being a psychologist, you know, a counselor who can relate to traditional issues that people have, as well as this secondary topic, this secondary career path.
Right.
So you marry that together.
Right, right. Yeah, I can speak from personal experience.
Yeah. So talking about your personal experience, tell me more about how you started your production company, and what is the production company?
Okay.
You know, what do you do for people in that area?
Well, I was working full-time in industry as a human resource development director of a Fortune 500 corporation, and I had been involved in community theater. So we started a friend and I started a small community theater group in Northville, Michigan, and ran for 10 years, and then someone reached out to us and wanted a group to do murder mysteries. So we ended up at a restaurant in Northville called Ginetti's,
which we
started murder mysteries, and we did those for a number of years. Then we did some on a dinner train in Wall Lake, and then got introduced to someone at the Botsford Inn who wanted a historical production, and he had a picture of Henry Ford, Harvey Firestone, and Thomas Edison sitting by his fireplace, and he wanted something called a fireside chat. So I wrote something and got some actors together. So people would come in on tours and have dinner and interact with Henry Ford, Harvey Firestone, Thomas Edison.
So you have all the historical knowledge about these characters, these historical titans, really.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And are you an actor as well? Did you develop acting skills with the theater?
Well, I'd been in community theater pretty much all my life. I started in high school and in college. I was too busy. In Michigan State, you almost had to be a full-time theater major to have time to be involved. So I didn't. But I was involved after college pretty much all my life in community theater. So after we got the thing going with Henry Ford, Harvey Firestone, Thomas Edison, I got introduced to a group and started doing some PowerPoint presentations on Henry Ford that someone else had put together. And I realized there were none on some of the other automotive pioneers, like Billy Durant, the founder of General Motors, and Walter Chrysler. And so I developed PowerPoint presentations on those. And then I kind of expanded my acting interactive presentations. My whole theme has kind of been leadership throughout my life as I look back in industry and in the theater. So now we have some presentations on Harry and Bess Truman and Franklin Eleanor Roosevelt and Joe and Rose Kennedy, and I portray the presidents in those.
Who's your favorite character to play?
Oh, wow. I like them all. I get into them all. We yesterday, I was Harry Truman for 75 people at a retirement community and had a wonderful time with lunch and taking people back to 1952 and being Harry Truman.
Nice. I find Henry Ford extremely fascinating. I guess maybe that'll be another topic, but I'm big on reading. I read, like I was saying, I listen, okay, like I said on the beach. I don't listen to the radio. I listen to Audible books. I like a lot of the personal growth and development books. But one that I try to read every year is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And Mr. Hill was kind of like the original motivational speaker. That's the way I think of him. But it's written in the 30s and still completely relevant today, I think, except for, you know, he talks about a lot of newspaper stuff, you know. But other than that, completely relevant. And he references Henry Ford nonstop.
Well, it's interesting when you think that there were over 500 automotive companies in the teens and the 20s.
Yeah.
And out of that came three, the big three, Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors. And so those three pioneers had to have something special.
Yeah. Now, we know Henry Ford's name very well. Maybe he did a better job with branding his legacy with the museums and Greenfield Village and with the health systems. Mm-hmm. But I don't know anything about Billy Durant. So what should I know about this guy?
Well, he's completely different. Henry built one company from scratch. Actually, it was his third try.
Right.
The first two were unsuccessful.
The first two companies, all of the investors got wiped out.
Right. They were unsuccessful, but he had persistence. Billy Durant was a millionaire and 40 years old when someone asked him to take over the Buick company in Flint because it was failing, and they were concerned they were going to lose the title of transportation capital of the country. And so he took it over just to kind of try it out and liked it, and then he bought Cadillac. And so he bought companies instead of starting them. So
and if he was 40, he made money in his first career.
Right.
So it was his second career.
Right, it was. That's a good point.
It all ties right together, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was the largest carriage-making company in the country before he
so he
went
graduated,
into automotive.
Graduated from horses and buggies
up to
automotives and took the companies and really took them to the next level.
Right.
Right.
And so he bought Buick, he bought Cadillac, he bought Oldsmobile and Pontiac, and died penniless.
How did that work out?
How did that work out? He invested, I shouldn't say this, but he invested too much in the stock market.
In 1929?
Yes. And it was just overly optimistic. He was a salesman at heart and didn't have good advice like you would have given him.
He was not working with a certified
financial
planner.
No, he wasn't. He thought he could do it by himself. Fascinating person, though.
Now, you mentioned murder mystery. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that these things were so prevalent and so popular. I went to my first murder mystery dinner about a year ago for my for my son's school's fundraiser. It was a lot of fun. It was very difficult to solve, I have to say. So how many years did you do that?
Oh, we did that for about 10 years, and then we kind of got interested in the history things, and so we've sort of specialized in that ever since.
Okay. Well, I find it fascinating that, much like Billy Durant, right, your second career is your hobby, right?
Right.
With acting and, you know, creating Dore Productions, and it's a hobby that you'd like to do. You can make some money. But also, at the same time, you're consulting on second careers, so that's kind of ironic, right? It is your second career, and you're consulting on second careers. So I think it ties it all together really neatly. Russ, if there is someone who is interested in, you know, putting on one of these events with, with the production company, how would they contact you?
Well, I have a website. It's Dore Productions, D-O-R-E Productions, one word, dot Weebly. .com.
Is that W-E-E-B-L-Y?
Yes. Okay. And on there we have descriptions of all the productions and also a button that says schedule. And so if you want to see something in the greater Detroit area, you can come and see one of the presentations. Many of them are at libraries and senior centers, and they're free. We do a lot of private ones. They're not listed there.
Okay, so they can come to the free ones, through the public events, or they can contact you.
Contact me, we love to do it.
If your organization wants to put one on as a private dinner or something.
Exactly, or even without a dinner, one of the PowerPoint presentations for a meeting, or the interactive ones for a lunch or dinner.
Okay, and then on the counseling, consulting, second career discussions, would they go to the PCS website?
Right, PCS...
PCS-counseling.com. Okay, great. Well, is there anything that you'd like to add that maybe I've missed?
Some people wonder why I'm still at this. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm making some money, that little extra money to travel and see my kids in California and Florida. And just in January 30th, I turned 81.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Wow.
So I'm having fun, and the IRS statistics say that at my age, I'm going to live to 98. So I hope to still be doing this.
I figured you're still in your 60s.
Yeah, I'm blessed. I fool people, and that's fine.
Outstanding. Well, Dr. Russ, thanks again for coming on as our guest here on Finding True Wealth. We appreciate you.
Good. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate Dr. Russ Dore coming on to Finding True Wealth today. Hopefully you enjoyed our conversation talking about a second career and then learning more about his actual second career. I mean, here's a guy who's 81 years old, and he's not sitting on the couch. He's not, you know, wasting away his days doing nothing. He's a practicing psychologist part-time and doing his acting production company part-time. I think that he enjoys both. And he has all the wisdom and all the years of experience, and he's, you know, paying it forward and letting people like us tap into that wisdom of this 50-year-plus career. I oftentimes think about what I might do if I had a second career. Perhaps I'd like to be a real estate investor. Perhaps I'd like to be some sort of fitness pro expert, maybe a trainer at the gym. Who knows? But I'm only 39 this year, so I've got some time left to figure that out. If you have over $500,000 and you're interested in a second opinion, I ask you to please become a follower of the podcast on Podbean. Sign up with Podbean for free. Become a follower. Come to my website, peakwm.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And use the scheduling tool on the website and book a meeting, book a call. Let's sit down and see where you stand. Hopefully, you're doing the right things to get you on track so all of your goals can be reached. But if you're not, I can help show you the way. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peak Financial Minute with Nick Hopwood. You can subscribe to this podcast through iTunes and the Android Marketplace or by visiting www.peakwm.com. Peak Wealth Management is your premier wealth management partner. Plan, protect, peak. Securities offered through Regulus Advisors, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Peak Wealth Management, LLC, a state of Michigan registered investment advisor. Peak Wealth Management, LLC is independent of Regulus Advisors.